Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands for Angela.
Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today we have as a guest Postman. Postman has been on this show before. Without further delay, again, Postman, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. It's good to have you back on the show.
Right. It's the privilege that you brought me back on the show. What's going on? What's been going on since I've been on here last time?
Oh, I've had a lot of people on the show, a whole lot of people. I've had just the ball with the show. I've been enjoying it immensely. The guests are very intelligent and informative.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yes. So, you have Postman Productions.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
let me clarify.
The name Postman is two separate words, capital P, O-S-T, capital M-A-N. Sorry for that train in the background.
That's okay. That's okay.
Postman is a nickname. Growing up in high school and college, I got that nickname in the barbershop. I'm also a barber.
Oh, okay.
So growing up, that's where the nickname comes from. And also, as I got into the music industry, you know, everybody knew me as that. So when I developed my company, I named it Postman Productions initially, and it's grown into what is called Postman Media now.
Okay. So can I say your real name?
My real name, yeah, Darren Florence is my
real
name.
Yeah, Darren Florence. Our AKA, as I call it, Postman. I just like to say to the listeners, many of you have heard the Postman and may have not realized who he is, but if you have listened to radio shows such as radio stations such as Crawford Communication, Infinity Broadcasting, the Tom Joyner Morning Show, Island Def Jam, FUBU, Fatburn, LaFace Records, and among many others, then you have more than likely heard Postman. Okay.
That's right.
So you were talking about your company.
Right. It's a production house, basically, and we service clients like you just mentioned. That we do their commercials for them. We also do voice imaging for radio stations around the world. If you don't understand what it is, voice imaging is the guy that comes on the radio and says, "You're listening to WVEE Atlanta, V103, the big station."
Oh,
well,
my goodness.
Me.
Okay.
That's me. That's my voice. And sometimes, you know, most people say, "I thought that was a white guy." some situations it is, but sometimes it's me as well.
Okay. So when I was researching on you, I found out that you have, what is it, AFM Media or AMF Media?
AFM Media is a parent company to my production house, so I could, you know, get into other adventures that are not necessarily production or voice over related.
Okay.
So it's just a mother company that I have as well that do other type of businesses as well.
Oh, okay, that's great. So how did Mike Faulkner influence your career in voice radio production?
Mitch Faulkner is what I call the guru of urban radio. When I graduated from college, I met up with Mitch. And at the time, he serviced like 90% of the black radio stations in the country, doing their call letters, drops, ads, and promos. Like, if you go to New York, you would hear him on WBLS or Kiss in New York. If you were in Chicago, grew up in Chicago, you would hear him on WJL, well, that's Detroit, GCI in Chicago, JLB in Detroit, any major city from Miami to L.A. to New York and all places in between.
Oh, wow.
Mitch was that voice. He was that voice guy. And so to me, that was my Michael Jordan. When I looked up to Mitch as the person that started out being that person, I said, okay, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do when I grow up. And so I worked with him for approximately 10 years, and he taught me everything he learned. And I guess about 1999, 2000, I started my own company, and here we go.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you enjoy your work then? You enjoy having your own company?
It's a hustle, and it's a job, but yes, I do enjoy it. I mean, I love being creative, and I love doing voice work.
You're one of those people that I've often said on Show Talk with Angela Butler that gets paid to do a job you actually like, because there are so many people who go to work every day and do not like their job. So you're blessed.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't even imagine. First of all, there's no way possible that I would do a job that I didn't like, because, I mean, obviously it would make me happy. I'm not saying that it's wrong to do that. And I'm not saying that it's right to do something that you love. I mean, sometimes we get caught in situations that it is what it is. But luckily, over the years, I concentrated and focused on what I wanted from an early age, and I just stuck with it over time.
Okay. So when did you start your career? I'm asking this because I like to know what the earliest time you started your career.
Well, I have an interesting story about that. When I was in high school, you know, I was one of those kids that kind of looked older than their actual age, right? So
okay.
I was going out and hanging out, you know, in high school. And so I went out to this dance or club or something, and I met this young lady, and we were talking about music. And back then, at the time when I was younger, you know, Prince and Purple Rain, the movie
was
out.
Oh, yes.
That was my film.
I like watching Prince.
So we were talking about guitars because me and one of my cousins, we like music and instruments and blah, blah, blah. So she told me to come up to her radio station. She worked at the radio station, and to come up to the station, she was going to bring her guitar up there, and we could, you know, play and jam and just kick it. I go up to the radio station. I'm sitting there talking to the young lady, and she still doesn't know that I'm like 15, 16 years old. And
you're a teenager.
Yeah, I was young, and in the on air room walks one of my cousins. I'm like, "Cuz, what's up?" He's like, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "What are you doing here?" He looks down at me and says, "Mommy bought us a radio station." I'm like, "You lying?" He said, "Yeah, this is our radio station." I said, "Give me a job." He said, "Come in tonight. You can work tonight." I'm like, "Man, you know I can't come in tonight." But long story short, he ended up giving me the gospel show on Sunday morning.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I got my started radio. And I worked all the way through college. And that's how I got into it, really.
So that is how you got your start. A relative had bought their own radio station.
Right.
That's a blessing. Now, right now, or not too long ago, what I like to know is, how did you cover so much of the urban radio market here in the United States? Because you said Mitch Faulkner did that, but now you have that territory. So how did you do that?
Well, it's over time, you know, each year, different clients. But the easiest way to explain it right now is one of my major clients right now is Tom Joyner. And I've been doing the promos for the cruise and the family reunion for his radio show for about maybe 4 years now. And so he has over 100 and I would say 20 stations nationwide. So anytime my promos play on his show, obviously, they, you know, mask the whole country. But I have other clients and other stations that I do other private projects. Also, Tyler Perry is one of my clients. If you ever hear in his plays that come to your city locally, usually that's me on the commercial as well. So those two clients keep me pretty much busy in terms of a national sound and a voice around the country.
Okay. So you work with some heavy hitters. Mr. Tyler Perry and Mr. Tom Joyner. Okay. What is it like working for Mr. Perry?
Well, I don't talk to him or deal with him directly. They have a production house that's based out of Dallas. So basically, it's just like any other client that I have. The clients email me what the copy or script is, and I produce it and send it in. I send the invoices in or the emails, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So how have you been able to audibly cross-market your brand of radio? Because you've crossed over. From what I understand, you're not just in the urban market anymore. You cross over. So how did you do that?
Well, I think I've been doing this type of work, and I've been in this industry for 25-plus years. So just over the years, meeting different people and clientele, like I travel a lot. In every city and market that I go to, I try to go to a different radio station every time I leave town. And just you know, meeting people, handshaking, passing out cards. Over the years, you know, you just meet different people and they need different products. For a lot. For example, I guess about maybe 10, 15 years ago, I made it my issue to be, you know, the voice of a lot of DJs locally here in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And so one of my DJ friends is DJ Esco, which ends up turning out to be Future's producer. So you'll hear my voice all over Future's music.
Oh, okay.
You know, and the drop goes like this, DJ Esco, the coolest DJ in the world. And it's all over.
You have a nice voice. Yes, you have a very nice voice. Deep.
That's all over Future CDs. So all the young kids know my voice based on all the DJs that I do mixtapes for and DJ stuff. And the adults know me from, you know, doing voiceover for, you know, national syndicated radio. Like, a lot of people don't know that I was the first voice for Keith Sweat's show. He has a syndicated show. It's kind of like a Quiet Storm show. And, I was an influence on that particular show as well. So a lot of different projects.
Okay. Now, we were talking about earlier how you covered the urban radio market, and Mr. Mitch Faulkner had that at one time. But you trained under and worked under it, and now you have the urban market. But I need to know, people tell me this, and plus I read it. I like to know, why are you considered the cornerstone of Southern hip-hop within Atlanta, Georgia? I know you're nationwide and you've crossed over, but how did that come about to be the cornerstone?
Well, I mean, I don't think of myself like that personally. You know, I don't look at myself like that, but I could try to explain why somebody might say that.
Okay.
When I first started out working with Mitch Faulkner, you know, it was the mid to early 90s when I first became a member of On Mic Productions and actually worked there. And so during that time, I'm listening to NWA, Ice Cube, you know, I'm listening to really what they call old school hardcore hip hop. And so that was the soundtrack of my life back then. And so my production started sounding like the music I was listening to. And as time passed, you know, Goody Mob and Outkast started to blow up and do well here in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
So I became the voice of all those people. I did their commercials. Like I told you, I do mixtapes for the DJs. So even the DJs back then, I became the voice of that. And so I connected my voice with that whole culture. And as it grew and developed in Atlanta, I became one of the main voices of that culture. And so now I look back and regret a little bit because I feel so bad at how, you know, as an adult now, like, you know, they cuss a lot and just have a rebellious attitude. And I'm like, I don't know if I should have planted those seeds. So I kind of want to put together some gospel shows and kind of calm that atmosphere down. But, yeah, I played a key role in a lot of those people that came up from Outkast to who 8-Ball MJG, Jermaine Dupree, anybody that came through Atlanta from the mid-90s all the way up through now, I played a key role in doing something for them.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, I'd like to know, do you enjoy working behind the scenes, you know, with the microphone, or is there any plans in the future for you, you know, to be in front of the camera or something like that?
Well, I'm a producer by heart, meaning that if you know what Dr. Dre does, I basically do the same thing with radio commercials. I produce them, but I also do voice talent. So a lot of times you'll hear my voice and you hear all the production that's around it, that's me as well. In terms of being in front of a camera or a microphone even, I mean, I'm open to all of that. I have no qualms with it. I haven't aggressively went after any situations like that, but I'm definitely open for those ideas. Definitely.
Oh, okay. All right. So maybe in the future you might be on television or films.
I've done a couple of countdown shows in the past.
Okay.
So I have a little television experience as well. We'll have to talk about that next time.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. What was it like working for the number one station in Atlanta, Georgia, WVEE 103?
V103, the big station.
Yes, I've heard that a lot of times. What was that like?
Each radio station is like, it's kind of like different schools that you might have gone to, like high schools and colleges. So V103 was like, you know, I worked there a couple of different times. I got to give you a disclaimer. The music industry is a trip, to say the least. With that being said, of course, I had a good time. I learned a lot. I met a lot of people. The radio stations in your city or anybody's city is like the crossroads to the entertainment industry. So if you want to find out who's in town or what's going on, any radio station that you're at, those people or those entertainment people are going to be at the radio station. So, I mean, it's always cool to have access and be a part of that. V103 is and has been for a long time one of the bigger stations in Atlanta. So to say that I was a production director there also is a good thing to have on the resume. And I did a lot of interesting promos and commercials for them during my time that I was there. So it was pretty fun overall.
Okay. All right. So you were talking about college a little earlier. I just want to know, was your major voice production, or would it be called something else at a university?
I majored in mass communications.
Okay.
And ironically, I was while I was going to school and going to college, I was working at WEUP in Huntsville, Alabama, where my college is in. And I went to this college that my dad went to. It's the only private Seventh-day Adventist university in the world. It's like our Morehouse of Spelman. And so I worked at several radio stations in that city coming up. And so my goal was, after I finished college, is to get a job at V103 in Atlanta. And so as soon as I graduated, I guess it took me about maybe 3 or 4 years before I got my job here in Atlanta. So
okay.
It was something that I was always focused on and wanted to do all the way from – actually, when I was in high school
– okay.
See, my grandmother moved to Atlanta back in the late 70s.
Oh, okay.
And so I came down to Atlanta with her, and then my parents moved to Huntsville, Alabama, like in the early 80s. And my dad was working on his master's, so when he moved back to Huntsville, Alabama, I went to school back up there with them. And that's how I got into radio up there and came back to Atlanta, and I always wanted to work at V103.
Oh, wow, you did just that. You did just that. So
yep, I set goals from a young age. I set goals from when I was a kid. I knew when I was young that I wanted to work at V103.
So were your parents major influences in your life? You know, were they the people who encouraged you and to go to college and everything? Were your parents the main people doing that?
Of course. It's not an influence. I didn't have a choice. what you gonna do? They kind of discouraged me. My dad told me the entertainment business is a business that's not consistent. You know, it's kind of shaky. He said, I wish you would get into something more, you know, that you could depend on. But if that's what you love and it's something you want to do, I support you. So my dad was the first person to drive me out to the radio station when I was a young kid. And my parents were the first people that were listening to my gospel show. And ever since then, I've always loved gospel music, even to this day. You know, even though I played a role in hardcore hip-hop music here in Atlanta and across the country, but I always love gospel music as well, so that's where my roots are, and I'll never forget it.
Okay. So now let's talk about your clients again, because you have an A-list of clients. I know we've already mentioned the Tom Joyner Morning Show, but you did things also for CNN.
That's right.
And many others. What has helped you to evolve? Be such a force in voice audio production, because you realize, you know, you're a force. I mean, you're everywhere. Your voice is.
You know what I mean? It takes interviews and situations like that for me to actually think about some of the stuff that I've accomplished. But I guess at the end of the day, it's about just meeting people, just like you reached out to me. I've been doing that for years to people, and once you meet them and you get involved with them on a business level. I think the CNN connection came from one of my cousins that went to school with one of the producers at CNN and gave my package to them, and they called me, and next thing you know, I'm doing promos on CNN. So,
oh, wow.
I don't think she works there no more. I haven't heard from her in a while, but that's how that situation came about.
So with CNN, the only television network that you did voice production for?
I've done stuff for Fox 5 here in Atlanta, Channel 11, all the cable networks, because sometimes the clients that I do commercials for, you know, whether it's a play like Tyler Perry or an event that's here locally, they'll take the commercial that I do for the radio station and produce a television commercial for it.
Oh, okay.
And so you hear my voice and stuff while you see the pictures on TV. So that happens everywhere all the time.
Okay. So you are also called not just voice production. You're not just in voice production. You also are called an on-air personality. And I like to know, what is the name of some of your radio shows? Because I know that you have a station now.
Right. Well, my website is postmanmedia.com. And I always wanted to be like Tom Joyner, Mitch Faulkner, and some of these other classic people that have been in radio for years, that A, you hear their voice on the radio and doing production, but B, you hear them actually as air personalities. And there's several shows that I've put together over the years and put on the internet, one of which is called I Want to Praise You. It's a gospel show. Like I told you that I love gospel music, and so
that's how I
get my gospel music in and get my praise on all at the same time. There's a show I've done with Portia Fox. She's a local air personality in Atlanta called The Groove, and it's like the best of old school and new music, but it's all R&B and soul music. You know, none but R&B and soul, and we just sit up and gossip and talk about industry stuff, which is a cool show.
Okay.
Also, another show is called The List, L-I-S-T, which is a countdown show. And when I grew up in radio, I used to listen to this old guy named Casey Kasem, and he would come on the radio every Saturday.
I remember him.
And do the countdown show. But in our time and culture, really nobody doing that right now. But I always wanted to do that, so I put together a countdown show based on that style. And that's me and a young lady, and she counts down the hip-hop songs, and I count down the R&B songs. And all those demos and, you know, samples of those shows are on my website at postmanmedia.com if you just want to hear what I sound like as a radio personality.
Okay. All right. Well, Postman, we're going to take a break, give you time to rest a couple of minutes to rest up and get your thoughts together. Listeners, you listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler, and the guest today is Darren Postman. Florence, and I hope you're enjoying listening to him. So we're going to go to a little break.
Sounds good.
Okay. Listeners, you're still listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest today or tonight is Darren Postman Florence. If you've heard any of the Tom Joyner morning shows or any Tom Joyner, CNN, or Island Def Jam, FUBU, Fat Farm, LaFace Records, or anything really to do with radio and a lot of television, then even though you might not have seen him, you've more than likely heard Darren Postman Florence, or a.k.a. Postman, as he's known. Okay, so Postman, what can people expect from you, let's say, within the next 5 years? Are you going to still be doing the same thing? You know, do you see yourself doing the same things, or do you see yourself getting more involved in other things, you know, and still doing that? Doing voice production, audio production.
Well, what I want to do when I grow up is be.
Grow up.
You know, that's that question. What do you want to do when you grow up? Well,
No. I'm talking about 5 years from now. I mean,
I get it. I'm just phrasing it that way. So what? I mean, 5 years from now, what I see myself doing is building on what I've been doing all along. My goal and my dream always has been to have a production house that we specialize in syndication for radios and television. It's basically what I'm doing right now, but I want my shows to start actually, you know, airing on radio stations around the country and around the world, so people can start to see that I actually do on-air personality as well as voice work. I also want to help enhance other people's syndicated shows in the terms of production and making them sound, you know, I want to be, you know, pimp my show. You know how they do the show, Pimp My Ride, and they take your car and make it real nice. I want to take people's syndicated show and pimp it all the way out and make it sound real good, you know, put production elements around it to take it to a whole nother level. Say, for instance, you have a good product, when you leave me, it's a great product, you know.
Okay.
So that's what I foresee myself doing in the next 5 years, syndicating my particular shows and helping other people that are in syndication take their shows to a whole nother level.
Okay. So do you have any schools or organizations that you speak to, I mean, you know, like to encourage the youth or anything like that here in the United States?
Well, I always, my alma mater, Oakwood College or Oakwood University, during our alumni programs, I go and speak to the kids in the college and let them know that there are people that came from the same classroom, the seat they're sitting in, doing the type of work that I'm doing, and actually making money and doing it. And they're not what we call Caucasian people. They're people that look like them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the school that I went to is the HBCU, and when I grew up and I came through that situation, I never heard of anybody like me or met anybody that does what I did at that time. So I just want to let them know that we do exist.
Okay, that's great. The Internet has did many good things for many people. But I'm going to ask you this. But there are some things that are not good about the Internet, such as cyberbullying. What are some things that you know about that could stop or slow down cyberbullying?
Well, first of all, you got to understand what the Internet's purpose in the beginning is for. And once you understand what it's for, then you understand how to protect yourself or put parameters on what it is that you're doing. For example, the Internet for me is a place of business. So I don't talk about personal stuff on the Internet. I don't care who it is. If I need to talk about personal stuff or anything like that, I'll call you or we'll meet in person. But my personal business does not go on the Internet at all. So once you put those parameters around yourself, you can't get cyberbullied or disrespected on the Internet because your business is not out there for that type of, you know, situation. If you put yourself in a position of business and you're trying to make money on the Internet, like for what example it really is for, all that stuff, you know, disappears immediately. But if you put your personal life out there, expect some repercussions.
Yeah, it's true. You're right about that. So,
but that being said, I tell my kids, I have two kids.
Okay.
Mike, you have to get a job one day, and you're a professional. So whatever you put on the Internet, expect for it to come back the way that you put it on there.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because about 5 or 10 years ago, about 5 years ago, there were people who were professionals in different jobs and had different careers, and they were putting things on the Internet that got them fired. So.
Exactly. So.
You don't always have to lie on a job application. It could be something you put on the Internet and still lose your job.
That's my advice about cyberbullying and whatnot. If somebody is bullying you on the Internet, it's because that you put, you know, I don't want to say you put yourself in that situation, but it's something that you did in order for them to have access to you like that.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do you think about President Obama's new initiative, I Am My Brother's Keeper, for the youth and young men of color?
Well, Obama is the first black president, but he's the president for all people. And, you know, at first it didn't seem like he was doing things to assist the black community, to me and quite sure other people. But for him to finally have a project that specifically specializes in young black males, I obviously applaud it. And other than some of the other great things that he's already accomplished as being a president, not just a black president, but just the president in general.
Yes.
I love Obama, obviously.
Okay. All right. So, you know, President Barack Obama, well, not necessarily him saying this, but I was reading on the internet where it says that there are communities across the country that have been, you know, helping the youth do better in the United States. So I think it's great what the communities have been doing for a while now in the United States of America for the youth. I think it's much needed. I'm glad to see President Obama build on that.
Yeah, that's definitely a good program. Even Charles Barkley had to say it because, you know, Charles Barkley interviewed Obama during the All-Star Weekend for the NBA. And
okay.
He talked about it a little bit then, and so he said that that was one of his favorite things, too. So hopefully it turns out to be something good for all young black males.
Okay, that's right. That would be a good thing because mm-hmm. even though some people think that when you get on the air and you start talking about black, white, or Caucasian, African-American, black American, they think that's racist. But all I'm saying, but what the main point is, the black youth are suffering.
Right. Well, we all know that the jail system is loaded up with young black males and the system itself, the correctional system, you know, we get pulled over and arrested at a percentage rate higher than Caucasian people. That's not racist for me to say it. In order for you to be racist, you have to put financial restrictions on somebody. But for me to call it a spade or a duck and just say what it is, it's not being racist.
That's right. I agree. Sometimes people don't understand things quite that way, like you put it.
Right.
Yeah. So you yourself, not just Mr. Charles Barkley or President Barack Obama, are very positive influence, I believe, on young people, and you're not a negative influence. So I think that is great.
Okay, I'll take that.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else we haven't talked about that you'd like to tell the listening audience about yourself, about any future shows, anything that they can listen to?
Well, I'm quite sure there's all kind of stuff that probably coming up in the future. If you want to keep up with that, you could always check on my website, postmanmedia.com, and I'll keep that updated. Or my fan page on Facebook, Postman Music Fan Page. I like to put a lot of interesting, you know, quotes and music out there and keep people abreast of what's going on in the music industry. That's always cool. And for the youth, for the young black youth, you got to decide what you want at a young age and lock into it and stay with it until you get old. You know, I've been doing this since I was a kid, and I still have the same love and desire for it when I was a young kid, and I'll never stop doing it till I die. Matter of fact, I love it so what I do so much that I would do it free all day, every day, and I wouldn't have to get a dime. I don't expect to get money from what I do. It's something that I love to do.
And that's the key right there. That's the key, because if you're like, I'm going to call it entertainment, because I did a little bit of acting in the past. I was mainly an actor, though, in films. And what I learned was if you're in entertainment, as I'm going to call it, for the money, you're not going to make it, not likely. If money is the, I found out for myself that if money is the motive, you're not likely to do well, because as an entrepreneur or small business owner, it takes at least 5 years before business turns a profit. So,
exactly.
And acting, you have to really want it. You have to really want to go to the auditions and things like that. And you have to show up, you know. So, you know, understand about that.
Well, actually, what I do is called voice acting now. They changed the voiceovers to voice acting, and the same agencies and the same people that you deal with in the acting industry, you got to deal with for voice acting.
Okay.
Point in case, the guy that does the Allstate commercials, and he's an actor as well, but you know his face as the voice of Allstate?
Yes.
Well, he is what we call a voice actor, and what he does is the same thing that I do.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. I did not know that. Thank you for telling me that. Yeah. Oh, wow. So it's called voice acting. Okay.
That's right. That's the word for today. So go and do your homework, everybody. Google voice acting and see what comes up and see if it's something that you might be interested in.
Okay. All right. So I wish you continued success, which I know you will have. And, oh, one more question. How long have you been, you know, working, you know, doing this? Is it over 20 years?
Yes, I started, I guess, when I first started that radio station, it was like 1983, 84. So it's been well over almost 30 years now.
Okay. So, all right, that's wonderful. That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, Darren, Postman Florence, I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I hope to have you back. You know,
no doubt.
Keep doing what you do, and I'll be listening for your voice. And remember, listeners, like I said, if you've heard any of the shows that I named earlier, more than likely you have heard Darren, Postman Florence. And those shows are on CNN and a lot of other stations. So they, if you've heard Crawford Communications, Infinity Broadcasting, the Tom Joyner Morning Show, Alan Defty, I know I've said this before, FUBU, Fat Farm, LaFace Records, then you more than likely have heard Postman.
That's right. Don't forget your favorite DJ's favorite DJ, too.
Okay, yeah, favorite DJ, too. All right, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Angela. Have a great evening, and thank you for having me, okay?
You're more than welcome.
All right.
Okay. All right, listeners, you've been listening to Postman. His real name is Darren Florence, and he's been at this for 30 years, voice production, and a lot of other things to do with audio voice on the radio and television. So, listeners, I thank you all for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler, and have a good night.